Common sense teaches that rebellion against omnipotence is both insanity and blasphemy. This is a quote coming to you from the Biblical Illustrator. In this broadcast, we are continuing our new series based on the theme, Increasing in the Knowledge of God. In this particular broadcast, we will study 8 words depicting the character of God as found in Isaiah 9:6, which says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And the government shall be upon his shoulder. These can be considered as 8 of the most comforting words, or as 8 of the most antagonistic, unfavorable words. These 8 words say a lot about the Lord Jesus, but your response to them says a lot about you. "And the government shall be upon his shoulder." No ands, ifs, or buts about it. Notice how the prophet Isaiah, before mentioning the powerful names of Jesus, inserts these 8 words, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder." He could have very easily said it in this way, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And then he could have inserted, "and the government shall be upon his shoulder." But he, being under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, mentioned these 8 words first of all. Why? Why did he do that? Well, I believe that the Holy Spirit was wanting to get a very important message across to us. And that message is this, that if you do not deal with his government, you will never know Jesus as Wonderful, which means miracle worker. You'll never know him as Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. You'll never know God as your Father, Abba Father, unless you deal with Jesus' government. Nor will you know him as Prince of Peace. At this time, people are looking for peace. In this time of confusion and chaos, they're looking for peace. But you will never know Jesus as Prince of Peace until you deal with his government. As we are continuing in our study, we're dealing with increasing in the knowledge of God. I ask you today, where is the government of your life? Have you placed it upon Jesus' shoulder? And the government. That word government there is the Hebrew word mizra, and it means dominion, rule, power. The right to be sovereign of all the earth rests in Jesus. The responsibility of rule, judgment, justice is upon him. Taken in the most extensive sense, the government of the Lord extends over all. The whole universe is under his dominion. Jesus is the great and glorious governor. All things in heaven, in earth, under the earth, and hell, they're put under his power. He has the government of heaven. He has the government of earth. And he has the government of hell at his disposal. And you can see scriptures throughout the Bible depicting this, but I chose three to just give us a clear understanding of this. Ephesians 1:21 says of Jesus being far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. Colossians 2:10 says of him that he is the head of all principality and power. Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And the government, this affirms his lordship. In the future, there's coming a day when Christ will reign over a literal, earthly, geographical kingdom. And that kingdom will encompass all the kingdoms and governments of the world. In that day, in the millennial age, the government of the whole world will rest on his shoulder. But until that time, his kingdom right now is an invisible kingdom or a spiritual kingdom. And his rule right now is over the Christians, the believers such as you and me, who have placed their trust in him and obey him as Lord. Now the invisible kingdom, but soon, very soon, it will become visible and universal as his rule extends even over those who do not acknowledge his lordship in their hearts. Isaiah talked about the government, but notice what he said. He said, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, being upon him. Why did he use those words, upon his shoulder, when talking about his government? Well, there are two thoughts of explanation. First of all, the government is considered as a heavy burden, and burdens are laid on a man's back or shoulders. So the idea is to be brought forth that this government is a heavy burden laid upon Jesus, who is well able to bear this burden. It's a great burden, but his shoulders are able to handle it. And secondly, the thought is it's an allusion to the magistrates of those days. They would have a key laid on their shoulder as an ensign of their office. So this ensign of the office used to be worn on the shoulder, represented by a key, in token of their sustaining government. And this is really brought out in Isaiah 22:22, this idea of the key being on the shoulder. Listen to what is said here. This is God speaking. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder, so he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Now, in order to understand, you know, who is God speaking to, who is he speaking about, you have to go back to verse 15 in Isaiah 22. And the Lord said, thus saith the Lord God of hosts. He was talking to the prophet, go get thee unto this treasurer, even unto Shebna, which is over the house. And God said, and say that I'm going to drive you from your station, Shebna, and I'm going to pull you down from your state, and I'm going to call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe Eliakim with your robe, Shebna. I'm going to take your robe and put it on Eliakim, and I'm going to strengthen him with your girdle, and I will commit your government into his hand. And notice what he said, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut, and he shall shut and none shall open. Notice what the Lord said there. He said, I'm going to commit your government, Shebna, into Eliakim's hand, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. The government represented by that key will be upon his shoulder. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. That key represented government. It was the special badge of his office. It was the emblem of his office, and it represented delegated authority. I will, the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. Now, this refers to a ceremony that was carried out in those days. And there are three ways of looking at it, the way they did it. They would have a hook on the shoulder of the officer of state, a hook, and they would put the key on that hook. So he would have the key representing the government on that hook that the government was on his shoulder, or else that key would hang from a kerchief on his shoulder, or else they would embroider a key on the shoulder of the cloak or the robe. But we see the idea of the government, the key on the shoulder. And this goes to is brought out in Revelation 3:7. We see that Eliakim is a type of Christ. Because when we go over to Revelation 3:7, and speaking of Jesus, John said, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth. So we see that the key, the government, shall be upon his shoulder, meaning the rulership, the dominion, shall be upon Jesus' shoulder. Now, in closing, we have studied all this. The Holy Spirit brought this to us today, this study. And he brought it to us because he is wanting a response from all of us. And that response, there's only really one response necessary. That response can be found in James 4:7, the very first part, which says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. When you hear that the government shall be upon his shoulder, upon Jesus' shoulder, the only response that should come from all of us is, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. That he is the ruler, he is Lord, he is in control. So our response is, Lord, I submit. I submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit voluntarily, freely, in a way of obedience to his commands. Submit to God by abandoning your selfish pride. Submit your understanding to the truths of God. Submit your will to the will of God. But sad to say that there are many that have a fighting spirit. Many that have a fighting spirit, which shows that they have not submitted themselves to God fully. There are still lust, envy, strife, contention, jealousy, anger in the heart. And all these declare that the heart is not submissive, but it still remains self-willed and rebellious. It is evidently not subdued. And we see this, you know, generally speaking, because man has a sin nature. He wants to be his own law and his own master. But the Lord Jesus is to have supremacy over us. And when we hear that the government shall be upon his shoulder, the government of your life should be upon his shoulder, the only response is to submit your whole self to the whole law and will of God. and let your thoughts, your affections, your words, your actions be guided according to the strict rules of his word. Be resigned to his will. Not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. Be content with the allotments of his providence. Be satisfied with the portion allotted you. Don't be comparing yourselves with others. Be satisfied with what God has given you. Be still and know that he is God in all your afflictive dispensations. Well, sometimes you're going through trials and tests, and you think, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. I don't really like this. But it's like Job said, that I don't know the way that you're taking me, Lord, but I know when I'm through, when this is through, I will come out as gold. And lastly, submit to his way and his method of salvation. You cannot just do salvation your own way. You know, I think I'll just take on Jesus and I'll bring Jesus into my life, and you never have a change, never experience a change of lifestyle. That isn't gonna work. You have to submit yourself to God, his way and his method of salvation, which is repent of your sins. Turn from your sinful lifestyle and turn your life over to Jesus. Repent of your sins. Make him your Savior. Look to Calvary and recognize that he died on the cross for your sins to pay the price. And then make him Lord and live the way he would have you to live. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, meaning the government of your life should be on his shoulder. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Oh, don't mock Jesus in prayer by calling him Lord, Lord, but you don't obey his commands. And don't mock him by calling him Lord, Lord, and yet here you are walking in the way of your own heart and in the sight of your own eyes. You know you're not right with God, yet in prayer you're calling him Lord, Lord. Don't do that. Don't mock him. Come under his government. Let the government of your life be on his shoulders. Submit yourself to God in every area of your life. Submit yourself to God. And when you do, it can then be said that the government of your life is truly on his shoulder. Our time is up for today's broadcast, but I encourage you, stay tuned for our next teaching as we continue our study of the theme, Increasing in the Knowledge of God. This is Connie Giordano with Walking in Truth Ministry, praying that the government of your life will truly be on his shoulder. In Jesus' name, amen.